We begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Lamed Gimel. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the halachas of the previous Mishnah, which were differentiating between Din Nemamanus and the court case of Din Nefashos. So one of the differences was, as our Gemara explains from the Mishnah, was Din Nemamanus Machzirin B'chulu, that regarding monetary law, there the judges can retract and overturn the verdict, whether it's to make the person guilty or not guilty, L'schus or L'chaiva, in contrast to Din Nefashos. Now, regarding this halacha that the judge could retract, whether for the benefit or for the demerit of the individual, the Gemara asks for a minu, but that seems to be contradicted by Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis. The Mishnah says, Donas Adin, if the judge judged the court case, finished, handed down the verdict, either Zika es Achayiv, the one who was supposed to be guilty, he said is not guilty, Chayiv es Azake, the one who really was supposed to be not guilty, he said is guilty, Timei es Atahar, that which was really supposed to be pure, he said is Tamei, Vitir es Tamei, that was supposed to be Tamei, he said was Tahar. So, although the error was revealed that he had made a mistake, says the Mishnah, Masha Asa Asoi, what he did is done, the verdict was handed down, that was the decision. Now, Vishalmi Basli, however, but the judge has to compensate from his own house because it was his own fault, it was a mistake and an error. The verdict is done, he cannot do it, but he has to compensate the party that was hurt because of his judgment. But one thing we see from the Mishnah over there is that he cannot back out, he cannot change his mind, he cannot be chayzer, which contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah that said that by dinim amanus, by monetary law, by zika zachayv, chayv zazakeh, timi satar, when it comes to monetary aspect, our Mishnah said you could back out. So Amar Rav Yosef, he says, leikasha, it's not a difficulty. Khan b'mumcha, our Mishnah is talking about that the judge was a professional judge, someone that's very learned. He, as our Mishnah says, has the ability to retract from the judgment. And the litigant cannot say, no, now that you're changing, it's going to be bad for me. I hold like your first version. Now you're changing your mind, you have a second version. I disagree, I hold like the first version. He can't. A mumcha is somebody that knows halacha very well and says, no, I realized the error in my first decision. I could turn it over and you can't stop me. But Khan, b'she'en mumcha, the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis is talking about when the judge is not a professional. He's not so learned. There, the litigant could tell him, who says that your second opinion is better than your first opinion? Maybe the primary is like the way the first version you had, and maybe now you're making the error, not your first version. And therefore, I don't want to be able to back out, says the litigant who had the better hand the first time, and that's why the judge, since he's not a mumcha, cannot back out. And since, however, that he did make an error, he's going to have to compensate. Now, the Gemara asks on this answer of Evisiv Uba Mumcha Machzirin, so he explained the Allah of Mishnah, oh, because he's a Mumcha, that's different than the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis. That's why he could overturn the verdict. And that says the Gemara, is that really so? But Vakatani, but the Mishnah there teaches and continues the Bechairis and says, now, Allah was, the Mishnah said over there, that he cannot back out. And it says, and therefore he has to compensate. But we are explaining, oh, that's because he was not a mumcha. So the Mishnah there continues and says, "Imhoye mumcha lebezin." But if he was a mumcha, if he was a professional judge, then patim elishalom, then he's exempt from paying. Now, one thing you see, however, is that whatever he did, however, is done. All it's saying is that if you're not a mumcha, it's done, but you have to compensate because it's your error that now the wrong litigant won. But if you're a mumcha, okay, what's done is done. But you don't have to compensate because you're a mumcha, and it must have been the bad mazel of that person who caused that this error should happen. But one thing we see, that even if you're a mumcha, says the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis, that you cannot overturn the verdict. That contradicts the answer of Yesi, who said that our Mishnah holds you could overturn the verdict because he's a mumcha. So Rav Nachman, he says, no, Khan, Shiesh Gadol Himena V'Chachma U'Beminyan. Our Mishnah is talking about that although he's a mumcha, there's someone even greater than him in wisdom and in the numbers that they have in their judges. That greater judge could turn over the verdict of this judge because he's greater than him in wisdom. So that's why he could be chayzer. Kan she'en god lemena b'chachma b'minyan. However, the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis is talking about that even in the case that he's a mumcha, but there's no one that's greater than him to overturn his verdict. And therefore, the litigant doesn't have to listen to overturn the verdict, because even if the judge who's a mumcha says, I made a mistake, he doesn't have the ability, the authority to, because how do you know? Maybe what your first thing you said was right, now you're making the mistake. If there's someone greater than you who he's saying that, yes, you made a mistake, okay, so then we could overturn the verdict because we trust his wisdom, and also the mumcha who's saying that he changed his mind. But in the case of Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis, he said there's no one greater. Although he's a mumcha, he cannot back out, and therefore, says the Mishnah over there, that he's not going to have to pay, but Masha Asa Asa, in contrast to our Mishnah, where there was something even greater, which allows the overturning of the verdict. Another approach, Rav Shesha Sama, a different resolution of the stira, he says, Kan Shetor B'dvar Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where the judge, his error in the Psak Halacha was in something that was an explicit text of Halacha, where there it's totally not a judgment, and of course we're going to overturn that. Kan Shetor B'shtikal Adas. In contrast, the Mishnah Masechet Bechorot that says that he cannot back out, was he didn't make an error in explicit Halacha, it was just something which is in the weighing of the mind, which the Gemara is going to later explain what that means. And in such a context, since it wasn't a clear-cut error in halacha, the verdict is done. But since it ultimately was an error, if let's say he's not a mumchah, he's going to have to compensate. And if he's a mumchah, he's not going to have to compensate. As the Gemara says, the Amr of Sheshes, Amr of Asi, which this answer was given by Rav Sheshes, where we find Rav Sheshes elsewhere saying the same idea in the Amr of Rav Asi, the Tabit Var Mishnah Chayz. If someone made an error in the Mishnah that was explicit halacha, then of course we're going to overturn the verdict. But if the error was in the weighing of the different opinions, well, then we're not going to be able to back out. And that's what the Mishnah Bechorot is talking about. Now, on that, on this halacha of Rav Sheshes, Omler Avinu Rav Ashi, he asked Rav Ashi, this that he said that the Dvar Mishnah, that then we're chayzer, we overturn the verdict. Would we say that Afilota, even if the one who made the error in the halacha, even if they're from the brises of Reb Chiya of Reb Eishiya, which they're the ones who organized what we know as the Tosefta, the Brises, which they said what they said, and they just left those as the text of Halacha, but they're not as primary as the Mishnayos that Rebbe had made unspecified, meaning he just wrote the Mishnayos as is, who he was greater than them, and also all the yeshivas were by him because he was the Nasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people, and they went and they analyzed everything and they till they got it to a clarity. So yeah, that's a explicit halacha from a Mishnah, fine, that's of course you're gonna have to be chayza, but would that even apply to the prices of Reb Chiya and Reb Eishiya? So Amalei Yinsur, Rav Ashi said to Ravina, yes, that's also considered a Tabba Dvar Mishnah, it's still explicit brisa, and if the Dayan made a mistake in that, we would be chayza. So he continued asking, he says, Afilu b'di Rabbi Shmuel, even if, let's say, someone made an error in one of the teachings of Rabbi Shmuel, who that's something that they decided from their own logic. It's not a Mishnah, it's just one of their svaras. But that's what Rabbi Shmuel handed down. If someone made a mistake in that halacha of Rabbi Shmuel, not like that, would that also be considered Tabba Dvar Mishnah? Amalei in. So Rav Ashi said, yes, that's the same thing, because that's our Messiah. That's the explicit teachings we have from our Amiram, and therefore that would still be considered Tabba Dvar Mishnah. So he still asked, Afilu b'didividach, so Ravina asked Rav Ashi, even me and you, who were the last of the Amiram, that let's say someone made a mistake in our teachings, who we're the leaders of the Jewish people, and that's the primary corpus of the text, would that be considered Tabba Dvar Mishnah? So Malay, so Rav Ashi responded to Ravina, says, Atu anan katli kona ba'agmanan, what do you think we are? That we're those who cut reeds and gather wood in the swamps? In other words, what he was basically telling was, after I told you, that even who makes an error in the later Amiram, like Rav and Shmuel, that we then turn over the verdict, why should we be any less? We are from the later Amiram. And of course, if someone makes an error in our teachings, it would be considered Dvar Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, Heichidu Mishikla Das. So what is considered the weighing of the options? If almost everything of Halacha is considered explicit and Tabit Dvar Mishnah, what is Shikla Das that you cannot back out, you cannot overturn the verdict, because essentially you pass in a appropriate halacha, it's just that you made a mistake, and then you would have to compensate. So Amar Papa says, the case is, when for example, there's two Tanoim, or two Amiram that disagree. Now, the halacha was never decided like either one of those two opinions. Now, it happened that the judge passed in like one of these two opinions, But the primary sugya, the context of this halacha, generally goes like the other opinion. Meaning most judges, they see appropriate and fit to paskin like the other one. That's an error in the weighing of the options, where although it's not explicitly a mistake, because no one ever paskin directly, but the majority of dayan, they go like the other opinion. If the judge goes like the one that most people don't go like, that's considered enough of an error. It's considered enough of a din to say you can't overturn it, but it's still considered a ta'is that he would have to compensate if he's not a mumchah, and if he is a mumchah, he would not have to pay. Now continues the Gemara, Eisvir of Ravnuna Rav Sheshes. However, Ravnuna asked to Rav Sheshes, who he had said, what we just mentioned before, that if someone's tar b'dvar mishnah is chayzer, if a judge makes a mistake in someone that's an explicit halacha, then we would overturn the verdict. from the following Mishnah Masechtas Bechoris. The Mishnah says, "Ma'aseh b'parah shel beis Menachem." There was an incident with the cow of the household of Menachem. Shenitlo ha'em shela, that the womb of the cow was removed. V'chila Reb Tarfon leklav. Reb Tarfon fed it to the dogs because he said that this is a treifa. This is an animal that an integral part of its limbs was taken out. It's not a viable animal, so therefore it cannot be eaten. He said you have to give it to the dogs. Now the incident came in front of the sages in Yavna, and they actually said it's permitted. Why? Because Sha'amar Taidus Arayfe, Taidus the doctor had said that ain parav v'chazer yoytzis melchsan shel Mitzrayim. There is no cow or davar acher or swine that leaves Alexandria of Egypt. Elim kein chaytchem aim shela, unless they first tear out the womb of the animal. And the reason why they do that is kadesh leitailin. So that it should not be able to give birth, because since they were very high quality animals, they didn't want that other places where they're exporting to should be able to grow those animals themselves, so they first tore out the womb. But one thing we see is that, however, the animal survived, or else no one would buy from Egypt. So you see, said the Chacham, to Reb Tarfon, that the animal could survive without the womb, and therefore it does not make it into a treifa, and therefore it is a kosher animal. It could still be eaten. So Reb Tarfon said, okay, Holcha Chamurcha Tarfon, he was talking to himself, he says, there goes your donkey, Tarfon. In other words, I'm going to have to sell my donkey to use it to compensate the owner to give him back the value of his cow, because I made him lose it. I told him it's not kosher, he has to go feed it to the dogs, and it really was kosher. It was a viable animal, and they have to compensate him for the Pesach HaDin that I made a mistake in. Amalei Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva said to him, no, pater ata, you're exempt. Because anyone that's a well-known, versed judge for the people is exempt from paying, like we said in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechoris, although that if someone makes a mistake, Masha Asa Asa, and he has to pay, but we said if he's a mumcha, he doesn't have to pay. So Rebbe Kiva said, don't worry, even though you made a mistake and you would have to pay, since you're a mumcha, you don't have to pay. On that, as the Gemara, be'i'isa, but if it would be the case that we hold a Rav Sheshes Halacha, that if you talk about Dvar Mishnah, that then the individual could be Chayzer. So leimalei toy bedvar mishnah ata. Then let Rebbe Kiva just have told him something very simple. Even if you're not a mumcha, he should have told him you made a mistake in the explicit mishnah, which is brought in Masechet Chul Daf Nun Dalam and Aleph. That the mishnah there says explicitly nitlo aim shalak kasher. If the animal's womb is taken, it's kasher. V'toy bedvar mishnah chayzer. And if someone makes a mistake in a explicit mishnah, he could retract. Now the Gemara later on is going to ask what type of retraction is over here. They already fed it to the dogs, but right now the Gemara is assuming that it's difficult to remember Sheshes. Because why do you have to tell him you're exempt because you're a mumcha, even if he's not a mumcha? He'd be exempt because it was a tabidvar mishnah, and he could back out. So of course you don't have to pay back. You don't have to pay back, just retract, just overturn the verdict. So answers Rav Sheshes, it's not difficult. One and another reason was Rabbi Kiva saying. Chada de tabidvar mishnah ata. First of all, Rabbi Kiva was saying, first of all, the question doesn't stop. You made a mistake in the dvar mishnah, and if someone makes a mistake in a Mishnah text, like Rav Sheshes had said, could overturn the verdict anyway. Moreover, but he was saying that even had you made a mistake, Reb Tarfon, in something that was dependent on weighing the options, you're still a mumcha for the public. And then if it's a mumcha, the rabbin is exempt from paying. So, yeah, it's actually both interpretations of the Mishnah over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechoris, where Rav Sheshes had said it, that both reasons apply. The fact that you're a mumcha, even if it was shigal adas, but moreover, like Rav Sheshes explained in our Mishnah, that since it's a tabat dvar Mishnah, then you could be chayzer anyway. Now, however, the Gemara asks on one of the questions. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav, he says, "My kamaisiv Rav Amnun l'Rav Sheshes." What, as we alluded to just before, what was Rav Amnun's question to Rav Sheshes in the first place? Mipara, from the case of the cow. In other words, he was asking, according to Rav Sheshes, What was Reb Tarfon all worried about, that he's going to have to pay? What do you mean pay? It was a Tarbid Vah Mishnah. Just go ahead and return it, overturn the verdict. On that asks Rav Nachman by Yitzchak to Rava, Para harechil leklavim. What does that mean? What do you mean you could have been chayzer? They already fed the cow to the dogs. Valesa ditahad. It's not even here to return it. So what's Rav Amnuna asking? Wait, according to Rav Sheshes, why do you have to say exempt because you're mumchal rabim? You could back out because you could overturn the verdict. Yeah, if it was around. It's not around. So that's not an option. So that why is it a question in the first place in Rav Sheshes? So that's his Gemara Hochin Kamali. That's what Rav Nuna was asking to Rav Sheshes. Iyamit bishleima tabed var mishnah in the chayze. If you would say not like you, that if someone makes a mistake, even in the Mishnaic text, he cannot overturn the verdict. Alma kam dinas. Obviously, we see that whatever the verdict was, it remains. In other words, whatever the psak is, you cannot back down from your psak halacha. So therefore, even if the cow was still around, they didn't throw it to the dogs yet, it wouldn't make a difference. You wouldn't be able to back out and say it's kosher. You can't. Even though you realize you made a mistake, the psak is a psak. So hayne de komifchad Reb Tarfon, that would make sense why Reb Tarfon was afraid. Because anyway, the moment he said the psak, he was liable because no one could overturn the verdict. And he made it not kosher anymore. And v'kamala ihu, so that's what Rebbe Akiva was telling him. Oh, don't worry, mumcha lebeznata, you're a mumcha. V'atapotem alashalem, and you're exempt from paying. Well, he was telling him that, look, if you were not a mumcha, yeah, then you would have to pay because you would not be able to back out no matter what happens. Even if it wasn't fed to the dogs because you made a treif. Just with your psak, no one could, you can't overturn that. Eli'i amre tabed v'amishna chayza, but Rav Nun was asking Rav Sheshes was, but if you hold like you say, that if someone makes a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, he could overturn the verdict, which this is a Mefurish Mishnah Masechtas Chulin, then lay malay, but then he should have said to him, Kivin the Ilahav Yipara, since if the cow would have been around, Dinach Lav Dina V'loy Kluma V'adata, Rebbe Akiva should have told him that because it had the cow been around, your judgment would have not been anything substantial. Why not? He paskin already. Yeah, but you could have overturned it. So therefore, right now, you also didn't do anything. Meaning, although it was already fed to the dogs, but the owner of the cow caused a loss to himself that he threw it to the dogs. You didn't do anything, the fact that you paskin that it's treif, because you, had you wanted to, you could have overturned the verdict. So you, when you made a treif, you didn't finalize it, you could have overturned it. So the fact that it was fed to the dogs, you didn't do, and therefore that should allow you to be considered that you could have overturned it and therefore not have been chayiv to pay. And that was Rav Nuna's question. According to you, why do you have to say mumchal rabim? You could have said that it's a tadvah mishnah chayzer, although you can't give it back. But what I mean to say is you would be exempt because you had could have given it back. In other words, overturned your verdict and said that it's kosher. The fact that he threw it to the dogs, that's not your fault. You didn't finalize it. And therefore that was his question. That's what he answered, that yeah, that's of course. It was chad va'id. He was saying that, but moreover saying even with shikul hadas, still Rav Tarfon would have been pater and was pater because of mumcha l'rab. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Chisda Amar, he's going back on what we said before, which we started off with this question about the contradiction from our Mishnah, Mishnah Seftas Bechayrus, which we had different answers. One of them, which we were just talking about, the Rav Sheshes, where he said our Mishnah is talking about Tabrid Vamishn, you could be Chayzer, and the Mishnah Mechayrus is talking about Shikol Das, which you can't be Chayzer. We had a different answer of Nachman, that our Mishnah is by, there is a God Lamed Mechachem Minyan, and the Mechayrus is talking about that even if it's a Mumcha, that, but there's no one greater than Mechachem Minyan. Rav Chisdam, he gives a different answer. He says, Kan Shanotel V'Nosin B'Yad. The Mishnah Mesechtes Bechayrus is talking about where the judge, he himself went and took it from this person and gave it to the other person. That's really sealing the deal. That's like really a finalization of the judgment. That's where the Mishnah Masechet Bechayrus says, look, Masha Asa Asa, what you did is done. You like you went and you did it, it's over. So therefore you can't back out. So if it's your mistake because you're not a mumchah, you got to pay. If you are a mumchah, you don't have to pay. Kan shalei notel benasa biyat. Our Mishnah, however, is talking about, although he passed down the verdict, but he didn't himself go and take it from one and give it to the other. He commanded to the litigants what to do, and they did it on themselves. There, it wasn't such a finalization of the judge. There, he could back out, like our Mishnah said, and make it, I give back the money to the other person. That's the difference between the two Mishnahs. However, the Gemara asks a question now, based on that interpretation of the resolution of the two Mishnayos, where again, our Mishnah is talking about that he didn't do it by hand, and the Mishnah there is talking about that the judge himself did this by hand, and that's final, he can't overturn that verdict anymore. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Mechiv Ezezaki, so we can understand to explain the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus over there, that what does it mean by the case of when someone that was supposed to be not guilty, and he made him guilty, that the Mishnah there says, what's done is done, where, like we explained, you could understand that it would be talking about a case where he took from the party that was supposed to be not guilty, and him, inappropriately, because he made a mistake, went and gave it to the claimant, which that was what he made the mistake was. He was chiyav as a zakai. And that's what we say in the Mishnah Bechayrus, so since he did it by hand, he can't overturn it and then give it back. But the question we have is, regarding the case of that who was supposed to be guilty, and he said that he's not guilty. Now, obviously, the only way you could understand that terminology is only by the defendant that was officially owing money, and he was supposed to be obligated. And the Amalei Patrata, what does it mean that he was mezakeh him? Is that it means to say that he was saying that you're exempt, that you don't have to pay anything. And that was a mistake, because really he did owe. Now the question is, but v'holei notel v'nosen b'yad, you just explained that the reasons for all those halachas, the Mishnah Maseches B'chayrus, that he can't back out it because he did it by hand, but there is no by hand in the case of saying that really when the guy's supposed to pay and he doesn't, because you say you don't have to, that's just words. So why within that case can you not back out? Why can you not overturn the verdict? Answers the Gemara, even the Amar Patarata, since he tells him you're exempt, and he was holding on to the monies or object, whatever it is, that he's not going to have to pay anymore, and he's holding on to it, an act of holding on to it because of what the judge said, that's kamisha not manos miyadami. That's like as if he took it from the rightful owner and gave it to this defendant. That's like an actual nasam nasam miyad, and if it is considered finalization, and that's why he cannot overturn that verdict. But then the Gemara asks, based on that, so then how do we understand our Mishnah? The Ketani we had learned, which we explained our Mishnah, our cases that are not by hand, and that's why you could overturn the verdict. One, the Mishnah said, regarding a case of monetary law, you could overturn it, whether to find the person not guilty, or whether to overturn it to find them guilty. So the Gemara asks, so we could understand the case of when he's overturning the verdict to find the person not guilty, which is because the Abam Leikara that originally he had told him, Chayvata. Really, he was not supposed to be guilty, but he says, you are guilty. And, V'loinotam Anasim Yad, but he didn't actively go ahead, and when he said that he's guilty, he didn't take it from him and give it to the other person. So we can understand that's the case where when he wants to retract, he could retract the verdict. But Ella, however, the question, however, would be, in the case of when he's backing out, when he's overturning it, L'chayva, to find the person who he had said was not guilty, and now he's telling him that he is guilty, the question is, how can we understand that case? Obviously, it means to say that in the beginning, when he said that he's not guilty, is the amalei patrata, is we had said that you're exempt. And now we're saying that he could overturn that verdict, but why? Va'amet, but you had said, in the explanation of the Mishnah Maseches B'chayrus, kimin do amalei patarata, since he tells him that you're exempt, kamesha notl b'nosin b'yadom. You said, telling somebody doesn't have to pay is almost the same as if you're taking it from the rightful owner and giving it to this defendant, which you explained already in the Mishnah B'chayrus that you cannot retract, and yet in our Mishnah you explained that same case and saying that he could overturn that verdict. How do we resolve that contradiction? Says the Gemara, now, the truth is, like we had explained from the Mishnah Maseches B'chayrus, that you can never overturn a monetary verdict, or any verdict, to find the party guilty. Why? Because since originally you found him not guilty, and that we said is like as if you did an action by your hand, we said, like the Mishnah Maseches B'chayrus says, you did an action, nasam nasam b'yad, you cannot be chayzer. Rather, the halacha is going to have to be that you're going to have to compensate the victim, that party, from your household. Meaning from the judge's own money. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah actually is Chadikatani. Actually, our Mishnah is not two different cases, it's one case. Our Mishnah was saying, Dina Mamanis, monetary law, Machzirin L'schos, in other words, you could overturn a verdict to find someone not guilty if you had originally said that he is guilty, but you had not taken it from him by hand, you could overturn it to say that he's not guilty, Shehi Chayva, which is at the same time something that's a liability for his disputant, which you can make him obligated to return what he had originally taken. So it's regarding such a case that you could overturn them because since you didn't do it by hand. But you're right, it's not din nemamnes machzirin bein leschos bein lechayv, which we're telling two different cases. No, this answers the Gemara, it's one case. Din nemamnes yikiv machzir for schus, which is a chayva, which that's something that you could not have done by hand, and then you could overturn that verdict, even though it's you could find someone not guilty, which then the one that was originally, you had found him guilty, you could say you're changing your mind saying that he is not guilty, and the one that you originally said that's not guilty, that he's the one that's going to win, now he's the one that's going to lose. But to say in the original case where you're overturning it that you had said he's not guilty, and to say that he is guilty, that you can, because that we said that's actually like a mice to be a dime, like he had already been nasim nasim b'yad. However, the Gemara asks on this resolution, because the Kavasaga bin Nefashis. But then by default, you have to explain the continuation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was differentiating between Din Mamanis and Din Nefashis. So the way you just explained the case of Din Mamanis Yimachzirin, Bein l'schus bein l'cheva, that it's actually one case. When you say bein l'cheva, it means to say not something that originally was a schus for someone, and now you're learning a cheva, because actually that case you can't overturn, because that was like when you say pater atar in the beginning, so like you did an action by your hand. When you say bein l'cheva, it means to say that a schus for someone who would be a cheva for the other disputant, which that's a case that you could back out, because you're backing out from originally telling someone that he was liable, and now you're saying that he's not liable. But which is just a chayva for the other party. But then how do you explain then the contrast of the halach of din nefashas? Where the Mishnah said, by din nefashas, we're going to capital punishment, machsirin l'schus, you could only turn over the verdict if it's defined to exonerate the person that is not guilty for the death penalty. However, it's getin tamid beis, the im machsirin l'chayva. But you cannot overturn it to find the person guilty. Now, the way obviously you're going to have to explain the Mishnah is as follows, based on the way we just interpreted the halach of our Mishnah. You're going to have to say when it says machzirin l'schus that you could overturn the verdict to find favor, it means schus grei dasa. That it's purely a merit for that party that was the defendant, and there's no chayva for his litigant, for his disputant. For example, when it's chilul Shabbos or Eishes Ish, having relations with a married woman, where it's just him himself. There's no one else that's going to lose when he's found not guilty, that the other party then automatically on the seesaw becomes guilty. That would be the case that, oh, then we're machzir l'schus. When then the Mishnah continues and says, ve'ei machzir l'chayva, but we don't overturn his verdict to find him, to find guilty, what does that mean by default? It has to mean, as we explained, as we'll explain in one moment, is that l'schus means to say you cannot go ahead and find a merit for this defendant, shehi chayva, which is something that's liability for a second party. Because you can't say, as the simple translation, as we've always been explaining the Mishnah, that it means to say, ve'emachzin l'chayva, as the simple translation sounds like, that you can't overturn the verdict to find them guilty, because that even by dinim amanus you can't do. We just explained, the simple translation of the Mishnah is that dinim amanus, you can be machzir bein l'schus bein l'chayva. In contrast, by dinim nefashas, only by schus and not by chayva. But we can't say that anymore, because we just said that the Mishnah can't be learned bein l'schus bein l'chayva, because as we explained the Mishnah Masechtas B'chayrus, saying, overturning someone that was originally schus to chayva is doing something that was like as if you did nasam nasam b'yad, as if you did an action. Because saying patrata is like taking the other person's money and giving it to him, as we had to explain the Mishnah Masechtas B'chayrus. So why would our Mishnah say you could be chayzer then, if we said that when you once you do an action, the judge, then you can't overturn the verdict? Oh, so we said it's not two cases, it's really one case. It's a schus that's a chayv for the other person, where, in other words, where you originally had said one person was guilty. Now when you're saying that he's not guilty, although it's a chayv for the other person, but since you didn't do by hand, you could be chayzer. But then if that's the case, then you have to say that the case of din nefashis, that by chayv you cannot, it doesn't mean a straight up chayv, because that even by din mamnes you can't do. It must mean that you cannot find a merit, which is the same thing as the parallel of the case of din mamnes, you cannot find a merit. You cannot overturn someone that's going to get killed. You find a schus for him. It's going to be a schus for him, but it's going to be a chayva for someone else. That you can't do. So ask the Gemara, chayv si deman. When you're coming to defend someone from not getting executed, who's losing out? By a court case, it's usually how it is. You have two people. So when you're finding someone not guilty, it's going to be bad for the other person. So you're saying, but din moments you could do that, din nefashas, you cannot do that. When do you ever have such a case, but din nefashas? Says the Gemara, holikash, that's not a difficulty. Chayv si degoy ladam. You could have such a case when somebody murdered someone's relative, where if we're going to exonerate the murderer, that's going to be a liability for the relative of the murdered person, which is very difficult for him that this guy's being saved. He wants to see the death penalty. That would be the case of when you cannot be machzer for a schus for the defendant, which would be a chayva for the relative. So the Gemara asks, Mishum chayv si degoy ladam. What? Because it hurts the relative who is the redeemer of that person's blood. Katlin lelehai. For that reason, we go ahead and we execute somebody. We really have a schus to save him. How does that make sense? Why would we not defend him when we have a good defense? Because it's bad. So we won't overturn the verdict because it's bad for the relative. But v'ay, moreover, is bain bain. My bain bain. How do we read the reish of the Mishnah when it was talking about monetary law? We said it says you could overturn the verdict bein l'schus bein l'chayva. Now, obviously, it's talking about two different halachas because it says bein bein, whether it's for schus, whether it's for chayva, and therefore it doesn't make sense from the inception this whole pshat to say that oh it's one case it's a schus for this person, it's chayva for the other person. How do we read that if it says bain bain, which is saying obviously it's two cases, not one case? It says Gemara Kash, yeah, these are two difficulties in this resolution. So therefore, Ravina Amar, he actually goes back to give a different resolution to explain Rav Chisda, because our Mishnah was talking about a case which we had explained that is Rav Chisda's resolution of our Mishnah Sechtes B'Chayis, was our Mishnah was talking about Kishalei Nosam Nosam Yad. The judge didn't actively take it from one person to the other person. So the question was from the case of the Mishnah of Donas Adin Sechtes B'Chayis was talking about when he did it by hand, and that's why he cannot back out. But then the question we had asked on Rav Chisda, which started this whole discussion, was that, but then the case of Zika Sechayiv, when someone goes and someone was supposed to be guilty, and instead he said that he's not guilty, so the question we had asked was then how do we understand the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris? Where's the Nasan Menasan over there? When you say someone doesn't have to pay, you didn't take anything from anyone, so why is that case in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris going to be that you can't back out in that case? Which we had originally answered, and we said that, if you say he's exempt, it's like you're doing an action. But that we showed was a difficulty, because based on that, we said, so how do we understand our Mishnah? And we said, even if we're going to understand our Mishnah, but then what are you going to do with the Sefer regarding the Nefashis? And moreover, what's Bain Bain? So therefore, since that's a difficulty, so Ravina gives a different resolution for that question on Rav Chisda. He explains, the case we'd be talking about is where the collector had collateral from the defendant, and the judge went and he ruled in favor, he exempted the borrower, and he says, you're exempt. And then not loy mimeno. And he took the mashkin from the lender, gave it back to the lever. So yeah, there you have a case of that of Zika Esachayev, where that's something that he did actively by hand, and that's a type of a case for the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris that you cannot be chayzer. So it's not oimer pot. It's not like you didn't do anything. You actually did something. How are you doing something when you say someone does not have to pay? It's because he goes and takes the collateral from the lender and gives it back, and that's an action which that seals the deal, and therefore he can't back out anymore. Now the Gemara continues and now explains all those other cases in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayris based on this interpretation of Rav Chisda that is talking about that you when nasim nasim biyad you actually did an action and that's why the judge can't retract and overturn the verdict anymore. The case of Timei Es Hatar, you could also find that it will be talking about that he actively did an action. How do you have an action of when he paskin that something that's tar that it's tamei? Is the agi bei sheretz is that when they came to ask him the question regarding they were doubtful regarding this thing that was tar, if it became tamei or not, and the judge says, yes, it's tamei. And to prove his point, he went and he took a sheretz, which conveys tumah to a food item, and threw it on it to show there's no doubt, it most definitely is tamei, which actually turns out he made a mistake, it really was tahar. So that's the case of where he was tamei the tar, by actively doing it, he did it by hand. The case of tir esa tamei, what's the case of he actively went and purified that which was really tamei, is that the judge went himself and she'irvan bein peiresiv, he mixed it with all the other produce of the one who was asking the question, and it turns out he made a mistake. So he was trying to show that it was tahar, but really it was tamei, and to prove his point that it's tahar, he put this together with all the other guys, all the other produce, and it turns out it was really tamei, and therefore causing this person a loss. That's where we say that he cannot back out, and if it was not a mumcha, he has to compensate. And if he was a mumcha, then he doesn't have to pay. But again, you can't back out anymore because it was an action taken by the judge. Nothing more continues to explain the halachas of a Mishnah, again differentiating between din nefashis and din nefashis. So the Mishnah says, continuing on the previous halacha, the din nefashis v'chulu regarding capital punishment, there, unlike din nefashis, that you could be chayzer, you could overturn the verdict whether to chayva or schos, but din nefashis only if you find a merit to save the person, but if you already exempted him, you can't say, oh, I have something that will prove that he's guilty, and he's chayva misa, that once the verdict is passed, you can't do that anymore. So the Gemara explains, Rabban, when the Braisa, minayin liyetzim based in chayef, and where do we know that if someone leaves the court guilty, v'amar echad yesh li lam lavzchus, that take him to execute him, and someone says, wait, I have something to teach in his merit, minayin shemachzir noisef, and where do we know that we bring him back to court? Tamalim, that's the Pasuk teaches in Shemais, where this is in Chav Gimel Zayin. The Pasuk says in whole, it says, midva sheket cherechad, a person should distance themselves from lies. V'noki v'tzadik al-tarik says that a clean and righteous person should not be killed. It's because Hashem says, ki lo yatzik rasha, I will not justify a wicked person, don't worry. But someone that's noki and a tzadik, you're not allowed to kill him. So these two terms, noki and tzadik, we learn in regards to al-tarik that you should not have him killed. When it says noki, someone that's clean, it sounds like he's clean from sin, even though that in court they found him guilty. Al-tarik, that's what the Pasuk is saying, don't kill him, meaning even though the Pesak Din was already that he's chayev, if you find that he was really pure, that he was not guilty, you got to bring him back. And so too, Menayin liyitzim mi bezin zakeh. Where do we know if someone leaves the court that he was found not guilty? Lamar echad yeshli lamar lav chayva. But then someone comes screaming saying, wait, I have what to teach to show that he is guilty. Menayin shei machzirin oisem. Where do we know that we don't bring him back to rejudge him? Tamalamit tzadik al tarik. The other term over there that it says, someone that was vindicated should not be killed, meaning it sounds like he was vindicated in the judgment, even though he's not naki. So naki and not tzaddik, or tzaddik and not naki, either one you don't kill, which means to say that naki is, even though he is found guilty, but you find that he's really clean, you got to bring him back. Tzaddik, which he was vindicated, even though he's not naki, meaning you find that he really is guilty, also al-tarik, you don't bring him back to kill him. Now, Amr B'Simi Barashi points out that v'chilufa l'mesis, the exact opposite is by someone who incited others to commit idolatry, where they actually only bring him back to find him guilty, but if he was, if he was found exempt, but if he's actually found guilty, you don't find favor to show that he's really not guilty. And the reason for that is, because like the Pasuk says in Devarim, le'sachmo v'leita kasa l'vasha, the Torah is very, very severe with the mesis. It says, don't have mercy, don't cover over for him, we want him to be dead. Rav Kahana Master, he brings from the Pasuk right after that, Mechi Harik Targena, kill you shall surely kill him, which the redundancy tells us, we want him dead. Such a person, even if you could find a schus for him, and even if he was already exempted, but if you could find the chayb, you go out and you find him guilty to have him killed. Now, Baimene Reb Zirim Rav Sheshes. Chiva Gullius in the Gersa is Mai. What's the halacha regarding if someone was found guilty to go into exile, which the halacha, if someone kills by mistake, he has to go into one of the Ari Miklat, is that like capital punishment or not? It's not monetary, but neither is a death penalty. So says the Gemara, Asi Ritzeach Ritzeach. We learn out a Gzer Shava of the word murderer, where it says by Chiva Mises, by the death penalty, it says in Mamid Belamed, hey, Yumas Ritzeach, the murderer gets killed. And so too it says over there by those who are obligated to go into exile, it says, Lo Nesham Ritzeach, that the murderer, although he did it by mistake, has to flee to one of the Ari Miklat. So just like over there by the Nefashas, you could only have him returned to find the Schus, so too by Chiva Gullius, you could only have him returned to find the Schus. And continues the Gemara, Chayv Malkius Mai. And what's the halacha with those who are liable for lashes? Again, it's also not capital punishment, but neither it is Chayv Dinim Amenis. What's the halacha? What do we return them for? Says the Gemara here, Asi Rasha Rasha. Here we have a different Gzeres Shava, where it says, by Din Nefashas Asher Hu Rasha Lamus, which he's a wicked person to be killed. And it says also by Chayv Malkius, those who get 39 lashes, it says in Dvarim Chafei. V'hayi Im Ben HaKaisa Rasha, it says the term Rasha there too. So just like by Din Nefashas, you only bring him back to overturn the verdict. To exempt him, so too, Bachiva Malkis, if he was exempt, then you don't bring him back to find him chayiv, and if he's found guilty, you bring him back to exempt him. It says the Gemara Tanam Halacha, similar in the Braisa, which in this Braisa is talking about this idea of this, that you bring back a person to find favor. It says the Braisa, Chiva Golias Minayin. How do we know that it's not just by Din Nefashas, but even by Chiva Golias? As Ritzech Ritzech, like Zerushav from the word Ritzech, from Din Nefashas. We don't know the same thing applies to those who are liable for lashes. Asi Rasha Rasha. We learn that this Gezer Shava of Rasha Rasha. Now, continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, as we were talking about, that regarding Din Nefashas for capital punishment, if someone was found to be exempt, you don't bring him back to the court if someone finds something to prosecute him, to find him guilty. Now, however, Amr B'chir Barabo Amr B'yechani qualifies this halach and he says, it's only vahushadta, it's only because if the judge made an error, bedavish einat tzedukin maiden bay, regarding something that the tzedukin do not agree to. The tzedukin, the Sadducees, were a group of a heretical sect of the Jewish people who denied the oral law and said the written law we agreed to, but not the oral law. So the tzedukin did not agree to anything that was not explicitly in the Torah itself. Rather, it's brought in the Mishnah, or one of the words of Lamayram. So, and that's what he's saying in the Rabbi Yechanan, if the error was not something explicitly in the Torah, and the tzedukim did not agree to, so that's where we would say that whatever guilty thing you could find for the person to execute him, you're not going to bring him back. But if the error was even something that the tzedukim agreed to, which is something that's explicitly a pasuk in Chumash, zil kari beirav, then that's something called go and go learn in cheder, where even the school children know that this is nothing because it's a pasuk in the Torah, and that's Rabbi Yechanan, that would be overturned. Even if a person was found exempt, but it was such a open and shot mistake from a pasuk in Chumash, then actually we would bring him back and execute that person. Now, Baimene Rav Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yechanan, he asked, regarding the halacha that you just described, What's if tab benayif v'noy efes? What's if the judge made a mistake and he exempted an adulterer and adulteress, meaning men, a man and woman that had a forbidden intimate relationship? Maho, what's halacha over there? In other words, would we say over there that yes, even there we would overturn the verdict to find them guilty? Because we could understand regarding a case of murder, where it makes sense that there are many different intricacies of law, which are not explicit in the Torah, that the judge can make an error regarding. For example, if let's say it was regards to the stone that was used to kill the person, you can make a mistake. You have to know to analyze, was it the type of rock that had enough in it to kill the person? Or let's say regarding somebody that was, you have to be warned before a person could be executed. He was warned by the victim, but not by witnesses. Or if let's say the guy was saying that, yeah, but he was chasing me first, but he could have saved himself by only maiming him in one of his limbs and he didn't have to kill him. So there's all these intricacies in the laws of murder. It would make sense that that's what the Mishnah was talking about, that you cannot be ma'achzel l'chayva because it's not a mefurish apasik. Mefurish apasik, you're saying, of course, would be overturned. But the question is regarding adultery, where seemingly there's no errors to be made. They either committed the act or they didn't commit the act. So seemingly it's like a case of Kari Bei Ravhu, and therefore maybe over there, when someone makes an error regarding that, that we would overturn it, even though they said that they're not guilty, we would bring them back to court to find them guilty and execute them. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, yes, Ad-Maiktach Yokid, as long as the fire is burning, Zil Koitz Karach V'Tzali, go cut, chop up your gourds, type of vegetable, and go ahead and fry them and roast them. In other words, what he was saying, this marshal was, that once you're still involved in this teaching that I taught, yeah, then give heed and understand and extend it a little bit further. You heard from me that if it's something that even the tzedukim agree to, it's a mefurish apasik of chumash, then you could be chayzer. Yeah, this is something that even the tzedukim agree to, that they know that these are forbidden immoral relationships that a pasik of chumash says. And yes, says Rabbi Yechanan, by Minoy, from the office, it's open shut. And if a guy, if the judge made a mistake, it would be overturned and we would bring them back to execute them. It Minami Soto, we learned that Amar Bami, Amar Yechanan, said clearly from Rabbi Yechanan that Tob Benoyev Chayzer, if someone makes a mistake regarding an adultery, then you would overturn the verdict because that's there's no intricacies, it's a Mefurish Apostle. But then the Gemara asked, but if that's the case, then how do we understand the Allah of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, just unspecified, it said the din nefashis regarding capital punishment, we do not overturn the verdict. In other words, we don't find favor, we don't have people come back to overturn it to find the person guilty. Now, problem is, one of the halachas of din nefashis, capital punishment, if someone has a relationship with an erva, with an immoral relationship, so then how would we translate that case? Yeah, they're open shut cases, but that's also in the halacha of the Mishnah said you cannot overturn it. What would be the case of arayis? There would not be an open shut question from the pasuk that you would have to find that would say that you cannot be chayzer because it's usually open shut. It's kar bei rav. It's even tzedukim agree to, and you are chayzer even though it's din nefashis. So Rabbi Yechanan, he said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, it would be told my kagoyin sheta, where, for example, that the judge made a mistake and he found the adulterers not guilty in the case of shaloi kedarka, where they had relations in with anally, which is in the not natural way of having relations with a woman, with that liability is not explicit in the Torah, because actually the Rabbanan learned it out, as the Gemara teaches us later on Daf Nun Hamed Aleph, from Mishke Ve'isha, which tells us that a woman has two orifices, and that tells us that the liability is not just with the regular way, but even in the not natural way, where the tzedukim don't agree, because that's already interpretative, which we have it because of our Messiah of Torah Shabbat Peh, which we all know that 3 million people were there and heard the word of Moshe Rabbeinu, which and that Torah that we know that's impossible to understand without the Torah Shabbat Peh. So we have that understanding. That's something that would be considered not mefurish in the Torah, and therefore then we would not overturn that to find a chayva, where yeah, regular arise is open and shut, you would be chayzer, but regarding shalei kedarka, which is not open and shut, not something that explicitly in the Torah, that would not be chayzer to find them guilty if they already were exempted by the judge. And the Gemara continues, according from the halacha of our Mishnah, which again continues with other differences between din mamonis and din nefashis. So the Mishnah said, din mamonis hakol v'chulu, regarding monetary law, everybody could speak up regarding the court case, whether they want to find favor for the person or to find them guilty. In contrast, but din nefashis, the Mishnah says that everyone could speak up to find the person not guilty, but only the judges could speak up to find the person guilty. Now, on that halacha, that by din nefashis, everyone could speak up to find the person not guilty. The Gemara says, Hakol, everybody? That sounds like Rafila Edim. Even the witnesses who testified to prosecute the person to find them guilty, that they could speak up and bring proofs to show why actually he's not guilty and that he should not be executed. And that says the Gemara, Nei mas nitin, Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, Yivel Rabban. So that, is that to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, Das Yochar, an individual Tana, and not like the majority opinion of the Rabbanan? Why? Because the Tana we learned in Abraisa. Pasuk says in Bamidbar, and this is in Bamidbar Lamed Hey Pasuk Lamed, which the simple translation of the Pasuk is where it talks about Komake Nefesh, anyone that killed a person. So if Lefi Edim, if it's based on the testimony of two witnesses, so Yirtzach Ezer Tzech, then you kill the murderer. But Ve'edech Olayana Benefesh Lamed, but an individual witness, if it's just one witness, he cannot speak up to have a person executed. That's a simple translation. But since this halacha said elsewhere in the Torah, the Rabbanan in the Braisa darshan it for a different halacha. And they explain the words of the pasuk that says, Ve'ed echad l'yana benefesh, that the one witness cannot speak up regarding this person who's on death row, who's being tried for being executed. Says the Tanakhama, say the Rabbanan, Bein l'schus bein l'chayva. The Torah is telling you he cannot speak up, the one who is from the witnesses who are prosecuting him. He's not allowed to speak up regarding that nefesh, whether it's to find favor, to find not guilty, or whether to find guilty. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, he says, no, Ein l'schus. He could speak up to find the person not guilty, but ve'ein l'chayva, but he cannot speak up to find him guilty. So on that simile, says the Gemara, that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. Our Mishnah says that everybody, seemingly including the witnesses, could speak up to find him not guilty, but just not to find guilty. That's like Rabbi Behuda. The Rabban hold that he can't speak up even to say schus. So that in Rapapi says, no. Actually, the hakoil of our Mishnah is coming to include not everyone, including the witnesses, but rather be'echa min al talmidim, to include even one of the students, who the students would sit in rows in front of the judges, and that the Mishnah was saying that everyone from even the students could find the person reasons to acquit him, but they cannot go ahead and teach reasons why he should be guilty. And therefore, the Rakhal Mishnah is like everybody, like the Rabbana, and not just like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not teaching even witnesses, it's saying even the students. But again, only for Ischus, not for Chayv, we're going to deal in the fascist. Now, once we introduce this Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbana, we continue to have Lamadal and Alv, so the Gemara explains their opinions. My time in the Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that he says that the witness could speak up, even though he was prosecuting, he's brought something testimony to prosecute this guy, he could find reasons to exempt and say that he should be acquitted from the death penalty. He says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Mamidbar, Eidechad Layana Benefesh Lamos, that the one witness cannot speak up regarding this person to have him killed, which tells us Lamos Hudein Oina, he can't speak up to find him guilty, because he just says his testimony. Who asked you to start thinking of reasons and making calculations why he's really guilty? You said your testimony, be quiet. The judges will find reasons. Avlos Chusayna, but to find him not guilty, that he could speak up, because that's not Lamos, that's actually to keep him alive. But whereas Rabbanan, they would tell you that no, as their opinion was that he can't even speak up to find reasons to exempt him, to find him not guilty, because Amar Shlakar, Shlakar says, Mishum de Mirzi Kenegei Be'yudusei, because it actually looks like that Zabayas over here related to his testimony. Because what's very potential is that the witness who said false testimony to try to prosecute this guy, he's worried. He's afraid that maybe what's going to end up happening based on his testimony, they're actually going to hand down the verdict that he's guilty. Now the problem is once the guilty verdict comes down, if witnesses then come and do hazama on them and say, what? How did you say that you saw a murder when on that day you with us? And then actually they're going to get executed themselves, the witnesses. Now the problem is he can't retract his testimony anymore once it's after a few seconds, because halacha is, once a person says his testimony in a court of law, he can't back out anymore. So therefore, that's why he's trying to find favor. He says, no, it's very likely he didn't because he doesn't want the guy to be found guilty, because then he could have a hazama and he could die. So that's why the Rabban say that even when he's trying to find favor to say not guilty, we don't listen to him because he might have a bias there why he wants the guy not to be prosecuted because he's afraid of getting hazama himself. But then the Gemara says, Rabbanan, hay lamas my darshibe. But then obviously, what do they do with the word lamas? Rabbi Yisrael Behuda says it's to say that you could only not say anything when it's to find him guilty, to kill him. But not guilty, you could. But according to Rabbanu, say that even not guilty, you can't. So then why does it say the word lamus? So that the Gemara says, mukmile be'echa min ha-tamidim. They explain it that applies to one of the students. Meaning, as we said before, that even one of the students cannot speak up if it's lamus. meaning the witness cannot speak up lamus or to keep alive. When it says there in the Torah, lamus, that's not going on the eid echad. That's saying that a different individual that could speak up, albeit l'schus, but he can't even speak up if it's lamus, which is one of the students. But again, the witnesses, it cannot be torah because they have a bias for the testimony, not just lamus, but even to keep him alive. Ketanik learned the brisa, which says this difference. Amar echad mina edim, if one of the witnesses say, yesh li l'lamar lav schos, I know I'm the one who said that I saw a murder, but I have something, a merit in his defense, that he should not be killed. Minayin she'ein shayim alayif, and where do we know that we don't listen to him? Because tam alayim e'ed echad layana, because the pasuk says, one person, one witness, cannot say anything. We're conveniently leaving out the word lamas, because as the brisa can explain, like we just answered, that's not going on the witnesses. They, even l'schos, cannot say anything. Now, minayin le'echem min hatamidim, for where do we know that even one of the students, shama yeshli labar lav chayv, that says I have something to find him guilty, minayin shein shemun, where do we know that we don't listen to him? Tamalayim echad lo'yana b'nefesh lama. So we use the word aid, and ending by nefesh, where we say aid echad lo'yana b'nefesh, and we leave out the word lamas. However, for the last part, when we're talking about the student, we leave out the word aid, and we read it, echad lo'yana b'nefesh lama. No one is allowed to say anything regarding the person to have him killed, which, again, as we said, but only to have him killed, he's not allowed to answer. But to find the schus, then you could, which is that's the halacha by the students, which, as we said before, the students could go ahead and find something to not guilty for the defendant, but that's only the students. But again, the rabban hold that regarding the edim, they can't speak up, not l'chayva, and not even the schus, because again, that's negei beidusei, because they just don't want the person to be found guilty, because then they could have a zama, and then they themselves would be executed.